Good morning. Can you hear me all right? Yes, it's great. You know, did you know today is the first day of spring?
Yes.
So it's kind of wonderful just to think about that. It caught me by surprise. I go, whoa, like that. Oh, it's good to see. Is that on there, Nolan? Okay. Yes, counting the cost at the cross. And, you know, this we're going to start kind of a journey with Christ to the cross. And this is the first Sunday for me to be able to do that because we're finishing up the Lord's Prayer. And it's something that really caught me and really speaks to my heart as well quite a bit. And, you know, but before that, you know, just listening to Will, I was kind of wondering where Dolly was and stuff like that and all that. I don't know what happened there, Will. You should have made an earlier call, but it was wonderful. Appreciate that. You know, it's life for me getting kind of slow or boring enough to where I looked at my deodorant stick this morning. I use Old Spice, if you didn't know that. And it says that, and it said this, okay, just to kind of wake you up, all right? This is a commercial for Old Spice. It says, if your grandfather didn't use this, you wouldn't be here. Just think about that. Guys, think about that. All right, so I just wanted to kind of get that off my mind. It shocked me. It shocked me. I don't know why I even looked at it. So I don't know how I can begin after that. I'm sorry. Let's pray. That's a good spot to pray. Father God, we are so thankful that we can come together in your name. Lord, yes, it is by your grace we are saved by faith, Lord. And Lord, that's a mouthful in itself, and it's a mystery because the gift of faith that you give us is so wonderful, and it is a gift. And we thank you that we can come together to hear your word and to be together to encourage one another and to pray, Lord, to pray for others, pray for one another. And I pray that you will just open our hearts, Lord, that you will challenge us anew, that you will open up a new understanding to us, that, Lord, that you empower us, that you'll guide us in our walk with you, that you'll rise us up like you did Lazarus out of that grave and send us forth to be lights for you, Lord. So we just pray that you just receive all the honor and glory in this time. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Counting the cost at the cross. That's kind of hard for me to say. Counting the cost at the cross. It's the triple C. You know, last summer, we took a trip, Joy and Nolan and Cam and I took a trip to New York and then Boston up the coast of Maine and visiting family and all that. And it's the first time I really got to see the Statue of Liberty up close. I mean, I've seen it from a distance, but we were there on the Liberty Island and got up close. And it kind of, you know, I don't know if you've ever been to other monuments before, like Washington Memorial or others, but, you know, it just kind of made me think for a little bit. Now, I didn't think a lot because we were kind of on a move and stuff like that, but still, you know, there's a time to ponder. There's a time to survey the cross, you know, survey things, contemplate, think more deeply about things, about, you know, what it doesn't mean, you know. The Statue of Liberty represents freedom, right, for all people. And when I think about that, I just kind of go, wow, you know, what a blessing that has been for millions of people to come and to get away from the oppression and other things that they're trying to escape from other countries. This country has been blessed to be a blessing for sure. Not that we are perfect, but we certainly have this freedom. And we went on from New York to Boston. And if you've never been to Boston, wow. If you love history, this is the place to go, all right? New York has got history, but Boston is a smaller city, and you can walk around and stuff like that, and you see, you know, the North Church, you know, where they hung the lanterns up to tell, you know, where the British soldiers are coming on land or sea. You know, you see Paul Revere's house, you know, it's all, things like that, and it just and the people in the history of our country, our founding fathers, who counted the cost and said freedom is worth it, even to the point of death. And some of them did die standing for freedom. You know, they counted the cost. You know, Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. Give me liberty or give me death. He's counting the cost. He wasn't just something that was just, ugh, you know, like that. He didn't just, you know, sometimes you go to a place and you look at it, you know, some type of memorial, you got other things going on, you're just kind of indifferent, you just kind of walk on. Or some people look at it and scoff at it, oh, really? Is that really like that? But when you really think about it and what it's representing, it really can hit you and take you to a deeper place. And it challenges you. And that's what the cross does. The cross of Christ challenges everybody in the history of the world who has had to come up against it. Some have decided not to survey at all. They're just indifferent. Some kind of scoff at it. Some think about it a little bit, but things coming around their lives and cause them to move on without really thinking deeply. And then some of us have actually stood before the cross of Christ and counted the cost. And that's what we're looking at today. Now, you know, death is something that we don't like talking about much. It's something that we kind of try to put aside, not really want to really even think about. But it's something that, you know, Ash Wednesday, if you ever thought about what Ash Wednesday would happen a few weeks ago, you know, it's really to help us remember that we are but dust. And we are going back to dust. And so we have to grapple with that. What does that mean? And then you start thinking, well, if that is so, then, you know, what is life? What am I doing here? You know, what really matters to me? Those are the things you start thinking about. That's when you start surveying your life, right, before a cross. You know, he demands, you know, Christ's cross demands us to make a response one way or another. But there is a response. It's a turning point in our history, in our lives spiritually and physically. It's a powerful moment. And this one, as I was reading this a little bit more about, you know, just reading this article from Jay Kim, and he came up with this. He says, death is no longer an executioner ending our stories, but rather a gardener tilling the fertile soil from which resurrection life rises. See, for the follower of Christ, that's what it is. We don't have to fear death. It's just an ending of something old and worn out and corrupted, but moving us forward to a beginning that's something that's more wonderful than we can even imagine. We can't describe it. To be with God. So the way, you know, in our lives we walk and we have all these, you know, challenges and we, you know, our health, our jobs, our relationships, all that stuff, you know, just entangle us and, you know, can just cause us to fall apart and the corruption around us and all this. But for Christians, we don't have to worry about death. In fact, we can think of it as another way. Instead of a failure, you know, like a lot of times we think today is when somebody dies, you know, oh, he failed. Or somebody failed, he died. The doctor didn't take care of him. Medicine wasn't good enough. Science wasn't, had enough wisdom to help him out, or whatever it is. But death to us is just a beginning. Beginning of something even more beautiful. I think we need to keep that in mind as we walk in our lives and not to be afraid to talk about it, but to really view it as it is. It's just a part of our lives, but also there's something even more wonderful for those who choose Christ over this world and over ourselves. Psalm 90:12 says, teach us to number our days that we may regain a heart of wisdom. We were talking about wisdom this morning. That wisdom, you know, man's wisdom can only take us so far, and we can only understand so much, but we need God's wisdom. We need the Holy Spirit to move and speak to us so we can be enlightened, so we can actually understand when we come before the cross what it really represents and what it really means and what starts really mattering in our lives. And then our lives start to get reorganized and it gets transformed more and more as we come up against that. And our mortality before an eternal God. And we have to say, what matters? What's my life mattering here? And how is my life getting in line with God's purpose for me? What are my values? What are my priorities? That all comes to light as we look at the cross. So is it worth it to follow Christ? The question so many people ask. Is it worth it? Because there's a struggle. It's a struggle. I don't know about you. It's a struggle. And I tell you something, I haven't been through as much as a lot of other people I've known or talked to or read about. Not even close. It's a struggle. Is it worth it to follow Christ? Well, let's find out. The cost, if we look here at 14, and you know, before that, Jesus was talking about the parable of the great banquet, to where he was inviting people. You know, this one guy, you know, rich man, inviting people to a banquet, and some people going, I can't go because I got to take care of this. Oh, but I got this going on, can't go, sorry. And then, you know, he got all mad, and he says, you know, he told the servants, go out in the byways and, you know, all the alleys and start inviting everybody, the cripples, the lame, everybody, come to my banquet. And he says, then the master told his servant, go out and, to the roads, and says, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Those who rejected the invitation will not get a taste of that banquet. So there's stirrings. And then Jesus comes up with this, you know, a large crowd around him, and he was speaking to everybody, not just his disciples. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Wow. That's the cross, though, isn't it? That's the cross. See, when Christ came, he knew why he came on this earth as a man. He came to die, to be that perfect sacrifice, to pay the price of our sin and to set us free and to give us a new way, a new life as we believe in him. The cross was at a high price that we can't measure. And it's also a high price for each one of us who decide to say, yes, I will follow. It's extreme, extreme like this. It's saying, hate, you're, you know. But he used these extreme words to catch us and say, you better be ready, full commitment. You know, the cross does not take 70% or 50% or 90%. It takes 100% of us to follow Christ, 100% of our hearts at what he desires. And so relationships and resources and safety, if you keep on going down, you know, there's a guy who's going to build a house. Well, he has to estimate all these costs, right, to make sure that he can build it, or he's going to be kind of a fool because he only got part way, and it's there. He doesn't have much money. Now it's just a memorial to failure. Or when an army, you know, you're going to fight against another army that has more people, you better know what you got to be able to fight against that other country. If you think you're going to defeat them or not, if you don't think you're going to do it, you better send a peace treaty over to them and before they even start coming. So he's giving all this, you know, he's saying, look at all this, the resources, the safety, all that is at risk. All of it. The cross demands a high price from us. I don't know if you already felt that or not. Probably. 14:33 sums it up pretty well. It says, those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciples. It's said right there. That's Jesus' words. He's not sugarcoating anything. He's not blinding anybody. He just says, if you're going to follow me, be ready to give up everything. Sometimes you have to leave your family. Sometimes you have to leave your job. your country, your neighborhood that you grew up in. Sometimes you gotta put aside your money and forget about that stuff and start and follow what He has for us. Sometimes we have to risk other things, but it's an all in. It's an everything. So when you come to the cross, you've got to say, is it worth it to follow Christ? Are you ready to give up everything, even your own life? See, I think a lot of people don't think about that. They don't come before the cross. They don't survey it. They just raise the hand. I know a lot of people raise the hand because Jesus is a wonderful Savior and I need it. And I can use Him. I know God. We were talking about this morning. So many people say, I know God. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Really? Are you ready to pay the price? Did you count the cost? Because He gave His all. He demands we give our all. And so if you think you can start walking and, you know, look at the cross and then start doing your whatever you want and all that stuff, you know, it's not going to go so well. And by God's grace, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, the conviction will start rising up and will start changing you. But if you don't have that conviction, I don't believe you have the Holy Spirit. So if you think that you're following Christ, come to the cross and survey it again. See where your heart is before the one who gave all to us. Tanama, a friend of ours in Thailand, when we first arrived in Thailand, we taught English in a school of, I don't know how many kids. 5,000, that's right. It was a big school, all right? A lot of exercise going up and down the stairs and stuff like that. But we have made some friends with some Thai teachers there, and one of them was a Christian, and other ones were not. They were Buddhist. And we made a friend with Tanama, and we noticed that she was open to the gospel. When our other friend would witness to her, and she was open. She was very interested, and we talked to her a little bit about it as well. And then things were changing. I don't know if she was leaving a job or not, and we were still staying on at the school. But we heard that she wasn't feeling well. And we went to see her. And we just felt that God wanted us to present the gospel to her again. And we did that. We went to her home, and we presented the gospel, told her about Jesus and what He did for us. And so we presented the cross to her. And she was very open, but yet, and her sickness, and in fact, she was dying of cancer. She just looked and she just said, we were saying, are you ready? Are you ready to follow Christ? And she just kind of, no. She says, she just looked at her parents. They were off in another room, but she just said, I can't do it. The cost is too much. See, to be Thai is to be Buddhist. And if I profess Christ, it would dishonor my family. And so a little while later, we were at her funeral. Really saddened to lose a friend, not just a good friend, but someone to eternal death. See, the cost was too much for Tanawa. How many others do we know? Same way. We need the Holy Spirit to open their hearts, right? Peter, good old Peter. He's a good guy, right? He's like us, truthfully. A lot of special or type A people here anyways, okay? Dan's laughing at that. Dan sees himself up there, right? Sorry, Dan, I'm picking on you because Don, I can't pick on him yet. I got to still think about something there. Here. But, you know, he asked this question, you know, he's all revved up. He said, hey, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Yeah, it feels good. Yeah, Jesus, you're rocking it. Follow you anywhere. And then Jesus comes back and says, will you really lay down your life for me? because he knew better. He knew where his heart is. See, Jesus knew Peter's heart. See, remember, don't forget what we're learning about our heart. Remember that? You know, it's our hearts are the most deceptive of all. Beyond cure. Who can understand it? Peter couldn't. He felt something there. He wanted to go and lay down his life for Jesus, but Jesus knew better. He says, you didn't count the cost, though you've been walking with me for how long now? But you still haven't counted the cost yet, because the cross is looming. See, the cross back then was an instrument of death. So if somebody says, go get your cross and go carry it, it's not just a burden, but you're dying. See, I think we kind of sugarcoated, you know, flowers and all that stuff, the cross these days. You know, yeah, it's just a burden. It's my flu I have to deal with, COVID, for a week. No, it's death itself. It's that commitment, like, I'm following you and I'm ready to die for you. I'm ready to give it all up. And Jesus says, very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Well, just like what Jesus said happened. Peter ran away, just like everybody else, when Jesus was going to be brought before the Sanhedrin for trial. But he was able to get into the courtyard in that area. And people were pointing out, hey, you're one of them. You're one of the followers of Jesus. And he disowned them three times. The triple threat. The triple denial. Can't get worse than that. Peter, what are you doing? John, what are you doing? How many times have I done the same? See, Peter finally came before the cross. And he repented. And then when Jesus died and then when he rose again, he walked with Peter and he restored Peter, forgave him, and he gave him a purpose in his life to be the leader of those that motley crew, disciples that he's going to change and make into a church that would grow to millions and millions and millions throughout history. That's Peter. That's a surveyor. He didn't quite understand it. How about you? Yeah, it sounds so good. But yet, when it comes down to it, it crosses right there. You go, oh, you got to put that away. And you kind of go, no, I can't put my iPad away today. I got my job. I got to work 24/7. I got to build my house. It's going to be even bigger now. Oh, I got my plans. I got this and that. No. Jesus is saying, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Remember Marie Drum last week? See, she surveyed the cross. You're going to prison if you don't recant your faith. All you have to say is, I recant. And we release you. And you're free to live your life. Free to follow whatever you feel like. Free to start a new family. Free to eat. Free to be comfortable in a nice warm home. But she surveyed the cross. She surveyed the cross and said, no, this is not what it's all about. Not this world, not the pleasures that it will give me, not these deceptions of the enemy that says there's no God. Not myself who just, I want these things for myself. No, there's more. There's eternity waiting for me. See, that last verse we didn't sing of the survey to wondrous cross is right here. I really believe this was in her heart. Before maybe it was even written. Were the realm of nature mind that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. That is 100% commitment. So now, questions, survey questions. Have you ever done those surveys? And you keep on getting, please, you know, do a survey for us, see how good we did. I kind of go, you didn't pay me anything, so you get no survey for me. Still looking at my Old Spice stick there. I'm still trying to deal with that. All right. Will you take the time to survey the cross? That's something to ask ourselves. Will you take the time? You know, sometimes we do. All right. And for a follower of Christ, the price is high because there are times we need to survey the cross moment to moment and day to day. Because things are coming at us. Sometimes, maybe we needed to go to see our neighbor and pray for them, even though they don't believe in Jesus. But we just kind of went, it's just too much. The price is too much. I'm comfortable. I'm watching my TV or something going on there. Or maybe you just needed to give a call to somebody and, you know, talk with them and encourage them and maybe even, you know, strengthen your, you know, ask for forgiveness or things like that. But it's just not me. I can't do it right now. See, we need to survey the cross constantly. Because we know we need to get on his path. And there's a lot of times when we take ourselves off his path for us. So will you count the cost? So when you survey it, and then will you count the cost? Will you take the time to count the cost? Sometimes it's an instant. But as we grow closer to Christ and we survey and understand more and more the depth and the riches of his love. And that, you know what? You can't do that alone, but you also need others around you. That's why we have the church, to understand the depth and the width and the length and the height of his love for us. We can't do it individually. You can't be an island and do it because we're not strong enough. But when we're gathered together as a people in Christ, that's where the strength comes from, to start understanding the depth. That love poured out for us on the cross is amazing. It is divine. It is powerful. And it causes people like Marie to give up their lives for 38 years living in a little tower. What about you? God put us here for a reason. So will you count it worthwhile to follow Jesus? Those are questions we need to ask ourselves daily. The world needs us. Have you noticed how many people are walking in darkness? Even neighbors, even family members, friends, classmates, co-workers. The world, there's darkness all around. People are just dying and falling apart. People are going in eternity without Christ. God put us here to survey the cross, count the cost, follow him so he can use our lives to bless others. That's really what it's all about. See, there's a reward in it all. Did you know that? See, if you look back at 14:14, there it says, you know, it's talking about the banquet, but this is also talking about us now, those who surveyed a cross and say, yes, it is worth it. See, and you, this is Jesus' words, not mine, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, oh, those unlovable people, they can't repay you, but... There should be a but there, I feel. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. That is the reward of those who follow Christ. Jim Elliot, I don't know if you know him, he gave his life in Ecuador for others who were trying to tell others about Christ who don't know him. You know, they were a warrior nation, the Alca people. They killed people. They ate people. But he was willing. He counted the cost. He says, this is what I'm here for. And if I have to lay down my life so they can know Christ, it's worth it. Because I know where I'm going. I know where I got my reward. I don't have to build my kingdom, though. He just got married, has a little child. So he comes up, you know, this is something. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. That's something that he understood and something to live by in our own lives. Let's pray. Father God, again, your cross is powerful and awesome. So much love, but also so challenging for us. Forgive me, Father, for when I don't count the cost, or when I count it and it's just too much for me at that moment, and I just have to turn away and I got to go my own way. But I praise you, Father, and thank you for your grace that abounds to me, even when I do fall away like a Peter. You restore me as I finally survey the cross and say, yes, you're right, Jesus. Help me. Father God, guide us in our walk with you to survey that wondrous cross. And may it penetrate our hearts day by day, moment by moment, to where we will be these people that you will use to build your kingdom, to draw people out of that darkness into your wondrous light. Oh, Father, what a joy that is. Thank you. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all those people say, amen.